And that becomes sort of gospel, according to the government, if they say it.
Jack Crosby is a senior writer at Rolling Stone magazine. We will link to your piece, Incarcerated for Life and Trump's War on the Left. We're going to continue this discussion and post it online at democracynow.org, and we'll learn more about material support for terrorism and how that relates to this case. And that does it for today's show. Democracy Now! Is produced with Mike Berg, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nicole Salazar, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Saracena. I'm Anjali Kamath. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Democracy Now!
The promise of America is freedom, equality. But right now, those pillars of our democracy are fragile. Reproductive rights, voting rights, the right to make your own choices and have your voice heard. We must act now to restore and protect these freedoms for us and for the future. We are the American Civil Liberties Union, and we are fighting in every state, every day to defend your rights. And the rights of all people.
We have got to be here. We've got to be strong to protect those rights.
For over 100 years, the ACLU has fought for everyone to have a voice and equal justice. And we will never stop. Because we, the people, means all of us. To learn more about defending our democracy, go to myaclu.org today.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. The time is 6 o'clock. It's a Tuesday evening. It's time for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. I'm Manuel Goldstein. joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes, intermittently.
Yes, and
I'm trying to recover.
You're excused. You got a doctor's note. You actually went and got a doctor's note.
I have a sandwich.
sandwich from the same person, I think, too. This is all related to the conference. We're still recovering, and now we've gotten sick on top of that, but it took us a week to get sick.
Yes, but also oral hygiene, you know, is important, so get your teeth clean.
Well, are you trying to tell people something?
Well, yeah, I'm saying you don't have to go just to any doctor. Uh-huh. You know, there's lots of doctors, and yeah, I've been planning on taking care of myself, and that's what I did today.
Your teeth are very bright.
Aren't they?
Yeah, that's. I was a little alarmed.
I like my teeth.
No, they're good teeth.
Well, a lot of people don't see them.
Well, you do keep them to yourself quite a bit, but.
Well, I'll bear them.
Yeah.
I learned this.
If you're lucky enough to have Kyle bear his teeth at you, you'll notice how white they are.
Yeah, I have young relatives. They do that.
Uh-huh.
They show their teeth. And I've learned how to, like, you know, reciprocate. But, yeah, they're in good shape. That's not the issue. What is the issue is I am fatigued.
Yeah. I don't blame you. You've been doing a lot.
There's some kind of I don't want to name it. It's not COVID, but something's going around. It's like pre-fall.
Something in the
malaise.
Air.
Yeah.
Something in the air. And, hang on a second. Kyle, I'm going to need you back here because I'm trying to open this bottle.
No.
Well, here's the thing.
Here's your T-shirt. No, I'm not doing this. We're not doing. Okay. I can't open a bottle.
Well,
no.
It's just that it's wet.
You
and
have
it's...
muscles. Use your shirt. Use your T-shirt.
Oh, there it goes.
There you go. See, you don't need me.
Oh, I dropped it. For those who heard the show last week, yes, it's the same beverage, but this time I'm going to control myself. When you fall off a horse, and I know we fall falling off a horse at some point, you get back on. After you come back to consciousness and all that, get back on the horse. I'm not sure why you have to do that quickly. Is it teaching the horse a lesson or teaching you a lesson? I think it's to keep you from being afraid. And I'm not going to get a phobia about drinking a German energy drink on the radio. I'm just not going to be that person.
You do understand that it's carbonated to like 14. I don't know what the exact measurement is, but it's the same bubble density as champagne.
Is it?
Yeah, that's why it's higher pressure. It's not like our weak American soda.
Even on this, we fail?
Yeah, it's like 14-something. I don't know how you measure it in carbonated soda land.
I didn't know you did measure that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's intentionally, they're smaller bubbles.
Okay, well, they definitely, they get into my system, all right.
It and packs a punch.
They burst right back out. And for those who don't know what we're talking about last week, I made an unfortunate sound in the middle of the show, which people are still talking about, including me.
I think you're crazy.
I am crazy, but got to have something to get through today. Okay, so we have some things to focus on. News of the day. Apparently, you know who the CIA director is, Kyle? You know his name?
Yeah.
What's his name? Just shout it from the other side of the studio.
John Ratcliffe.
That's right. You know his name. See, most people don't know the CIA director's name. And that's a problem. You should know who's leading the CIA. I mean, I think that's kind of important. Apparently, he's on a secret trip to Russia. In fact, that is what the headline here on CBS News is. Not that we're CBS News. I'm reading something from CBS News. That basically says CIA Director John Ratcliffe on secret trip in Russia. Nice job, John. You're the head of the CIA, and you couldn't even keep that secret. Everybody knows about it. Everybody's talking about it. They even have video of your damn plane landing in Moscow. Moscow. I mean, wow. How? I went to Moscow, and people didn't know about it, you know? They didn't talk about that on the radio, or even my friends didn't know. Yeah, but everybody knows it. Well, actually, you know what? There's another story that hasn't actually been printed yet, but I happen to know that he left Moscow. He went there, did something, and then left. And the something that he supposedly did was meet with high-level representatives of the Russian government, obviously, to try and talk them out of bombing the smithereens out of Ukraine for once and all, you know, just enough already. The U.S. apparently told Ukraine, maybe this is how the word got out, they told Ukraine that a senior delegation will be traveling to Moscow, and please don't bomb Moscow while we're there. It wasn't necessarily those words exactly, but it's pretty much, that's the gist of it. It would be embarrassing and inconvenient if that happened. His visit comes as recent U.S. intelligence assessments indicate that Putin's risk calculus may be shifting. That's CIA talk right there. The risk calculus is shifting. With the Russian leader potentially increasingly willing to authorize provocative actions against NATO members, and last I checked, the United States is a NATO member. Literally, I checked before the show, because you do have to check. This includes hybrid operations and other deniable measures short of conventional military action in order to test the resolve of the alliance and the Trump administration. Well, if you're going to test the Trump administration, you're going to get different results every time, and none of them are going to be impressive. It's just true. I'm sorry. I'm not being nasty. It's just that's the world we're living in right now. U.S. mediated peace talks with Ukraine remain mostly stalled, with the sides still apart on core issues. We're not in talks with you. I don't think we're in talks with Ukraine. They're allies, but these days you never know. No, it's the U.S. mediated peace talks that our country is kind of organizing between Russia and Ukraine. But as you can imagine, that's not going very well either. The CIA has played a role in recent U.S.-Russia detainee exchanges, so maybe that was discussed as well. So, yeah, secret trip, and now secret trip back, I guess. John Ratcliffe. Yeah, let's have a big celebration when he gets back, trying to do this cloak and daggers. All right. Today was, I believe, the deadline for that new state law, which requires local police departments or county police departments, town police departments, to not have agreements with the rat bastards at ICE. You know, the people that go around shooting our own people and other people and not having uniforms or wearing masks, being anonymous, being untrained, those people. Yeah, let's not have agreements with them anymore, and now the rule of law is behind it. Well, guess what? Nassau County has refused to abide by the law. Yeah. The New York Attorney General's office has now issued subpoenas to both the Nassau County Police Department and Nassau County Sheriff's Department for their failure to comply with a new state law requiring the agencies to cut ties with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Spokesperson told News 12, I can't believe I'm quoting News 12, wow. You know, you guys should celebrate this, seriously. It's something. It's a feather in your cap. A spokesperson told News 12 that the Attorney General's Office of Immigrant Trust issued the legal orders to law enforcement agencies who either did not confirm their plans to unwind their agreements with ICE or whose responses were unsatisfactory. They included both Nassau agencies as well as the sheriff's offices in Broome, Steuben, and Rensselaer counties. A spokesperson for Nassau County Executive White Supremacist Bruce Blakeman said no comment this afternoon after News 12 made multiple requests over the last several days seeking clarity on what the county planned to do. If News 12 said they made multiple requests, they did. Yes. Governor Kathy Hochul held a press conference this afternoon basically saying no county executive should think that they're above the law in the state of New York. However, if they do thwart the laws that are duly enacted by this legislature and the governor, the attorney general will be responsible for enforcement. Now, think about this. Bruce Blakeman is running for governor, running for Kathy Hochul's job. And now he is on the verge of being charged with a crime for not following the law and disobeying this ruling that says local police cannot be working with ICE. It's a legitimate law. It will hold up in court. But Bruce Blakeman will feast on the attention and make it so that he is some kind of a hero by allowing these relationships to continue. Now think about what the relationships do. You have local police that are allied with ICE, and if you're talking to a cop, you might be talking to an immigration officer because they have a relationship. Is that healthy? Is that something that you want in your community? Let's say somebody got hit by a car, and that person happens to be undocumented, or maybe their wife is undocumented, or maybe they know people who are undocumented. Will they feel comfortable going to the cops? Definitely not. Definitely not. And if you say yes, they should, I'll bet you're not undocumented, and I'll bet you've never known anybody who's undocumented. They're humans just like we are, and dealing with the police has absolutely nothing to do with their immigration status, which is basically just status, you know, nothing more than that. It's status in a particular legal issue that should be dealt with in court on a different level, and not something that paints who you are 24/7. But regardless, that's a bigger conversation. The thing is, people have the right to health care, to protection by the police, just basically able to walk the streets without fear. These are basic rights. And those rights are taken away when you have all this suspicion, which is what exists right now in Nassau County. It's disgusting. And I just can't believe it got to this stage. So Blakeman, for his part, is saying that he's reviewing all options. Now, keep an eye on him. He's up to something. He hasn't come out and said, no, I'm not going to obey this yet. But I imagine he's probably in cahoots with Trump or somebody from his camp. And they're going to launch some kind of very public display against Kathy Hochul and standing up for the white man and all the trials and tribulations they've had to deal with over the centuries. Sorry, Kyle. I think I might hit close to home. All right. So, I also had this story on, from Newsday as well, but the toner was running out, so I can barely read it. See, is anything in here that wasn't in the News 12 story? Good job on the News 12 story, by the way, guys. Let me be clear. Any police department or sheriff's office that disobeys this law that maintains any agreement with ICE will face legal action. We will not allow local cops to be converted as ICE agents to conduct civil immigration enforcement. Now, according to this Newsday story, again, which I can barely read, Rensselaer is the only other county refusing to come into line. So those other two, Broome and Steuben, their sheriff's departments receive subpoenas for submitting unsatisfactory responses. So I don't know where that stands, but the vast majority of counties in the state, including Suffolk County, where we are right now, are complying because it's the right thing to do. So, yeah, that's what we're dealing with.
Can I make a joke about same-sex couples?
Please. Yeah, we need a joke, and I need a drink.
It just sounds like they're resisting these relationships they want to form with the feds, and I think they should be encouraged to, you know, be open with their relationships. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have to hide. They should be proud of it.
Yes. Kyle, could you stay for a moment? Because we're about to talk about something that's near and dear to your heart, and that's voting.
Oh God, no, not this. Because yeah. This is case in point why, like, talking here sometimes just does not, it doesn't seem like it makes, it, my life doesn't get better the more I talk about my own situation.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to just status quo or nosedive. And I swear, every time we've brought this up, every time we've talked about it, you've encouraged me and I've done it. And then I've just thought in the back of my mind, you know, someone's going to listen, and somehow this is going to be something that's attacked. And I don't think I wouldn't dare profess to consider myself special in any way. But damned if I wasn't certain this was going to happen, that the more I talked about this, and it's a totally normal thing to talk about. I'm sorry. And I should be able to talk about it. And here we are to come in for me. I get it. You know, it was only a matter of time. I can only be white and male and comfortable for so long. But here it is. Here it is. The administration is going to force me to register and put my name in a system. And I gotta tell you, I'm in so many systems. I mean, I'm thinking about all the clearances, like all the different ways I'm, like, you know, tagged, and my fingerprints, just everything's everywhere. So now here I go. I have to participate in this little charade only to do what I'm supposed to. I pay taxes. I work. I do all this stuff. Why? Why am I terrorized by companies and governments? Just to live. Like, yeah, I could be mad. I could be mad about my situation. Like, I get the temptation for men and, like, you know, disgruntled peers my age. I get it. But, like, don't abandon caring for other people. And I've spent a whole lot of, an inordinate amount of time caring about how everything else is going to affect everyone else. And I'm just saying, like, I'm not at all surprised, and I'm just so, so upset that, like, my words that are caution, it just doesn't matter. And I am allowed to vote. It's not been any other way where I'm from. And now you have to keep my state suing, like, just bankrupting this government with process. Like, I hope they just obliterate their prosecutors over and over and over again. Generations of lawyers growing up on this, eating lunches on this. I hope. And if not, then I guess it's all a big waste and we're as corrupt as Russia ever was.
Do you realize how many lawyers are employed right now?
I can
only say one thing. But we didn't even broach the subject. Actually, I just needed to get the story online because, I mean, look what happened here. The New York Times printed this great story today, which states vote by mail the most. And they printed a chart. And when I printed it, okay, it's just blank paper. So I needed to find the story online, and I did. So thank you for getting me there. The Supreme Court ruling yesterday said the Trump administration, was it yesterday or the day before, they can move ahead with plans to restrict mail ballots. I don't really know what that means. I don't know what they are. I know what Trump is planning. I know what he wants to do. He wants to control the election, wants to federalize the election, which is flat out illegal. And if the Supreme Court says okay, well, then they are working against the Constitution as well and must be dealt with. So, you know, these are some serious things that we have to really care about. If we don't care about it, yeah, we'll lose it. But I thought it was kind of interesting to look at what states were top of the list. Turns out New York, only 7% of ballots are ballots by mail, people voting by mail. So, you know, you might be tempted to not take this seriously, think it doesn't really affect you. It does affect you if lists are being made of people who vote and those lists are being federalized and kept by a single authority. That is a really, really bad move and a dangerous one as well. But in a state like Oregon, for instance, 100% of votes are cast by mail, 100%. So you can imagine that's going to have a very dramatic effect of the people in Oregon. Washington State, where Kyle's from, 99%. So there's 1% somewhere that somehow doesn't vote by mail. I'm not sure how that works. Hawaii also, actually they're 95%, as is Colorado. A lot of states are heavily vote by mail. In fact, Trump himself, the hypocrite, votes by mail. So this whole thing is just an attempt to intimidate, an attempt to basically portray something as a crisis when it is not a crisis. There are no undocumented immigrants voting. If somebody figured out how to do that, you could count them on one hand. I know, because they've been trying so hard to find these people, and they can never do it. And, you know, if you were risking your freedom to be in this country in the first place, why would you go out and do something like vote where you could easily be caught and prosecuted and kept from coming back to this country? It doesn't make any sense. And the only thing that does make sense is that these people are afraid of losing, and they don't know how to lose. Because every time they do lose, they point the finger at their opponents and say, "You cheated." You know, it's like a little toddler, you know, that doesn't know how to lose. I've seen a few of those, and it's basically the same mentality. You cheated, or the rules are changing now. Everything until they can win, and whether it's gerrymandering, or you know, just basically making it so certain people are no longer eligible. It's disgusting, and needs to be. It needs to be kept track of, whether or not your state is affected.
Indeed. I just think, like, it's astonishing the civility and politeness that we have anymore. Like, I would love to stoop, but I'm not. I'm not going to go there because, like, I'm just tired of talking about it all. Like, I think women alone are so activated and upset at this. I think it's really not about me, like, my demographic being, you know, activated by any of this anymore. Like, it's out of my hands. I'm not going to hold water, carry, you know, anything for these people. They're getting, you know, this is their utopia. This is what they want. And I feel for their sons. Like, they honestly need to know how to lose. Like, there are people that think this is the way. They know nothing but this. Or Sleepy Joe, they say that. But, like, other than that stupidity, they don't know anything else. And there needs to be a firm and resolute correction. It's a correction of behavior. A correction. Like, because, I mean, I can be, you know, unrestrained. It's not pretty. And I'm... This whole time we've been so polite and so cooperative and like, oh, let's hear them out. Let's do this and let's do that. And maybe we'll,
well, we're not
maybe
all
we'll
like
sue
that.
Them.
We're not all like that.
I'm beyond that kind of that quandary. And so like, okay, let them, I guess they're going to get their way and like, let's make it as awful as it could be.
But,
that's it. Like maximize the awfulness. So they really pay for this, like hereditary punishment. Self-inflicted hereditary punishment, because their own sons are going to realize, wow, look at what we're for. And I just hope I will, it'll be my duty and my pleasure to, you know, display that in every moment I have.
Okay. I rang the buzzer on the bus. I'm 3 blocks from where I want to be, but you made a good point, and I'm trying to go back to that point, Kyle, that they need to learn how to lose. I think that's the key right there, because we've learned how to lose. We're pretty good at it. We've lost many times. We've admitted we've lost. We've dealt with the aftermath. But there are people that don't know how to lose. If they knew how to lose,
yeah,
all of this could change. You know, people might respect each other again. People would act like grown-ups. And people would say, okay, what can I do differently to win people over to my side?
And
instead of just saying, no, I won, you cheated. That is basically what the opposition does now.
Yeah, and that's just it. It's like keeping your composure in the face of adversity is itself a huge challenge. And I just feel like not reacting and letting things play out to a degree is beneficial, because when... And if we get to a point in history where that is, you know, a part of our political discourse again, we'll be well suited for it. We won't still be sputtering and like reacting. And I feel that it's, well, I know what I want to say, and I know, how I want to be in the face of these kinds of things. And I just think they need to play out. Like, yes, the law, and now you're coming for voting itself. Like, the very thing that gets this whole thing started,
mm-hmm.
to protect this legacy or whatever initiative is.
Anything that can get them to stop is the enemy. And that includes voting.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, and I mean, yeah, I'm mad. I'm mad that, you know, that I haven't been, that I have the wages I have, that I haven't been able to get a house. I'm mad about a whole lot of things that didn't go well for me. I don't like the way masculinity and identity and, you know, my own experience has gone. But I'm not out here punishing entire, like, demographic groups just because I had, you know, opinions and thoughts about the way things went. And I just feel like people have really weaponized the system to take out their grievances on people that really didn't have anything to do with their experience. They're misplacing all this blame, and it's a stand-in for real bigotry and racism and stuff that's the antithesis of this country. And the being righteous is not hard, mm-hmm. or is not easy in practice.
Right.
It's difficult, but I think it's important because the level of disruption, you're basically disenfranchising, and it's the most direct assault on the democratic process itself and resentment for that process, and it's un-American. And I'm not okay with it, and I don't think a lot of other people are.
I got it.
It's got to stop. And I said, I think the display and the pride in this regime has really worn thin. I think people are disgusted by it, as you've pointed out, the way they act. And I think, I'm hearing in my everyday people saying things directly about the president, about his health span, that I never expected to hear in the normal course of my life with people I never talk about politics or anything with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here for it. I am all in on them expressing, even if it's ugly, because I feel that myself. And even in this discussion, I know I'm not letting you talk, but it's radio.
Believe me, I welcome this.
We get to talk about it a lot. We get to vent a little, you know, mm-hmm. here. I mean, not all the ways, but it's not a bar. We're on the radio. We respect the rules. We talk about these stories.
We avoid bars.
Yeah, but other people don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so angry at this kind of stuff.
And if you don't believe that, get on 25A east of Wading River and you'll see how angry people are. They just get behind you and they're always angry. I don't know what they're angry at. But I guess I do.
I'm just imagining the meltdown and what what their children will see when they take an enormous L this fall.
Well, here's the thing.
How will that go?
We talk about how they need to learn how to lose, but I also think, conversely, we need to learn how to win, because I don't think we handle that very well. Because there have been many times where people on the left have had a victory, but it's not good enough. And the person that won is also a hypocrite and just as bad as the opposition was in the first place. And you can never actually be happy. You know, I saw the same thing with Obama. And yeah, there's a lot you could say was at fault with Obama, and there were certain things that he did that I thought were not good. But you cannot deny, if you are on the left, that he was a lot better than Bush, and certainly a lot better than Trump. But there are people who will refuse to do that because the whole system is corrupt. And yeah, you know, I get that. The system is corrupt, but you got to acknowledge victory at some point. And it's not the victory you want. It's not everything. Again, don't be a toddler. You don't want the whole candy bar at once. You know, take a little bit at a time, and eventually you'll get tooth decay. I don't know what the analogy is there. But the point is, you never get everything all at once. All right? You have to do things in moderation, and progress is like that.
Sure, and I think a lot of what I learned and a lot of what I counted on in government and in society, it's really unpredictable. Like, there's a lot about our economy that has been upended by technology. Like, that's just a base through line of my lifespan. And to my mind, like, what's really, really unnerving right now is nothing is predictable. I can't predict healthcare. I can't predict healthcare costs. I can't predict anything about future job prospects or livelihood. I can't count on anything. There's nothing. I can't even count on my ability to vote and formally, peacefully register my grievances with this government. And I find that astonishingly unsettling, that here I am, sort of, I'm not really a kid, and I'm not really a geezer, and I'm kind of straddling this. And the more I experience, I've seen a lot of patterns, and the more I look at it, it's just maddening that we're flying a plane and building it and rebuilding it and tearing it apart. I don't want to participate in this anymore. Like, I get why some people left this country and just said, you know what, this is going to be terrible. And they left. And, like, that's not my choice, but I can understand it, because it is just completely insane that we get bled dry, like, of our resources, of our opportunity costs, like, everything, to just barely survive for, you know, a class of people that are horrible, believe me, I know, and somehow I'm supposed to respect this system and stay peaceful and consider your laws? I don't get it anymore. I'm honestly, the whole thing makes no sense. The double standard, the hypocrisy, the illegality, like the scofflaw nature of the opposing party, it looks fun. I want to have fun. And, like, I'm tired, like you said, of
What looks fun?
Oh, it looks fun to just not obey any rules. And I'm sure they'd love it if I did that.
Do you think they're having fun? Because they look miserable.
No, you're right. It's not, I'm maybe rhetorically embellishing on their behalf, but I find it insulting that the glee with which their handling of everything expresses. You know, I find it's absurd.
What I find absurd is how weak we are, we being society, to counter this kind of thing. You know, you have somebody come in and just flout the law, basically do things as they want to do, tear down part of the White House, you know, destroy all kinds of things without permission, and we can't figure out how to stop them. You know, it's nuts that they can just get away with it. No one ever thought to get away with this before, because, you know, we had rules. And then when you suddenly say, well, I'm not going to follow the rules, what are you going to do about it? We're not prepared for that. And that is a real problem that, okay, well, I have an example here.
We are, but we just don't talk about it.
Have you seen this, Kyle? The John, it's called the John Forming Arts building now, because they covered up the whole rest of it. That's a John Fitzgerald Kennedy Performing Arts Center. Basically, okay, so, you know, he put his name on there. And then he had to take his name off. And then they covered it with scaffolding so you couldn't see that he took his name off. And you can't see John F. Kennedy's name there either. Now the Kennedy Center, basically the Kennedy Center is now Trump, because he took it over. The Kennedy Center today urged a judge in a court filing not to block its attempt to renovate the venue and inscribe President Donald Trump's name on it, inscribe his name on it in a different way as the person who saved it or whatever, warning that the unsafe, decrepit structure may need to be taken down if the plan is blocked. They are threatening to demolish the Kennedy Center if they don't get their way. This is what we are dealing with. Yeah, they have lost their minds, and they will stop at nothing if they don't get their way. They will terrorize people. They will destroy historical structures. They will run rampant in the streets. We have to keep our cool. We have to battle these people, defeat them. You know, the more irrational they act, it means the more the opposition is getting to them. Because, you know, a smoothly running fascist regime isn't like this. They just quietly take out the opposition and build things their way. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it. Now, we might feel like there's not a damn thing we can do about it now. And you can be forgiven for believing that. But the fact of the matter is, they are acting so irrationally because what people are doing is having an effect. It really is. We're driving them crazy. I mean, they weren't too far from that destination to start with, but, you know, this is what we need to do. We have to be there to counter every single illicit step that they take. And, boy, they have a long list. So it's my hope that people don't give up, that they figure out how to have their voice heard despite the gerrymandering, despite the dismantling of voting systems. All of these are attacks on democracy, and they must be countered so that they are dismantled in the end. It's not going to be easy, and it's going to be very frustrating, and you're going to have a lot of arguments with people that don't get it. But I think, you know, every week, more people have gotten it. More people are feeling the pain and realizing that, wow, this isn't working. It's not what I signed up for. We didn't even talk about the Canadian tariffs at all, but that's the big news story that everyone's talking about. We are basically in an economic trade war with Canada, our neighbor, one of our closest allies. We're watching Canadian television. They're talking about being at war with us because they are so pissed off at how they are being treated by our country, by our government. And I just, you know, I think it's really, really important for all of us to reach out to Canadians however we can and say, this does not represent who I am, does not represent the people I know. We are extremely sorry for this. We promise we'll make it up to you. Whatever way we can, we'll deliver, you know, prisoners or whatever it is that you want to prosecute for whatever offenses they are committing. It's madness. It is utter madness. If you look at the rest of the world, you know, look around. Canada, Europe, South America, Asia, in every part of the world, Trump has made enemies where there were friends. You know, he's basically taking North Korea's side over South Korea. Look it up. It's really happening. He did this to Canada. He even the fascist leader of Italy, he insulted her and made her into an enemy. You know, he doesn't know how to keep friends. I don't think he wants to keep friends. But he basically has a situation now where he's burning his bridges, almost literally. I could see him burning bridges. It would be funny if it wasn't so tragic. And I think we're seeing a King Lear situation unfolding here. Not that he rises to that level, but I don't know. He's losing the marbles, that's for damn sure. I don't know how we're going to make another 2 years out of this, but the midterms are crucial. They are so vital. And that's why it's important for people to turn out, regardless of how you are told that your vote isn't going to matter, that they're going to cheat you out of it, that, you know, we're doomed. Don't listen to any of that. Don't listen to any of that. When people turn out, that's when you win. It's just no other way to make it happen.
It's got me not wanting to make friends. I mean, that's kind of the subtext of what I'm saying. Like, it's so beguiling, it's so tempting to emulate that, if that's sort of the behavior, the manner with which we're carrying ourselves, the way we're going to speak and behave in civil society with these kinds of things. But I think it's better to look back and have showed some restraint.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
It can be difficult. No, what you're speaking to the average person out there that is feeling the same frustration.
I feel like I'm speaking special English. I honestly feel like this is special English, and I'm like talking to kindergartners and trying to put a nice, happy spin on it, and I do not at all feel that way.
For people who don't know special English, it's not for kindergartners. It's for foreigners listening on shortwave. You talk very slowly and deliberately, and that's how people learn English. But I've never heard of other languages. I've heard of, believe it or not, I've heard of Easy Hebrew. I'm not kidding. I've heard of that. But no other languages on shortwave. Okay, editor of Stars and Stripes, that's the military newspaper. This is the guy that basically exposed the story of the soldiers on the boat that basically are... For some reason, this story doesn't mention the name of the boat. But they're basically, they've been on the damn boat for almost a year now, I think. This newspaper revealed that, because Stars and Stripes is dedicated to freedom of the press, even though they're a military publication. And this guy was fired after printing the story. So I can't say I'm surprised. Defense Department delivered termination notices last week to the Stars and Stripes editor-in-chief Eric Slavin, publisher Max Lederer, Middle East reporter Larry Court, accusing them of insubordination, which seems to be a contradiction to being a journalist. The dismissals raise questions about the future of the paper, which is partly funded by U.S. taxpayers and has historically operated independently. An interview yesterday on CBS News, Slavin called the termination notice a real shock, a very unexpected development. He had worked at Stars and Stripes for just over two decades, serving as a reporter and bureau chief before being promoted to editor-in-chief last fall. The stated reason for his firing was his appearance last month in a report on the Trump administration's push to overhaul Stars and Stripes. Slavin was asked if there were any lines that he would not cross. And he said a demand from the military not to publish a perfectly accurate story would be a red line. And on Monday, Slavin called those comments a hypothetical response, in my personal opinion, as to what would be my red line. And I described censorship, which I believe to be in line with Department of Defense regulations and the law itself. The Stars and Stripes goes all the way back to the Civil War. It's pretty incredible that it even exists. But it might not for much longer in this administration. So we'll see what happens with that. Okay, we're getting into the printouts that had the bad toner. So, okay, progress. Two people have died from measles in Pennsylvania, the first in 35 years. Yeah, that's progress. Because measles was largely eliminated in the Commonwealth for more than three decades, people are not familiar with this disease and don't fully understand the potential severity of the illness. That's according to Pennsylvania Secretary of State Dr. Deborah Bogan. As a physician, I want to make sure that people understand that the MMR vaccine is safe and provides the best protection we have against measles. Well, listen to somebody who knows what they're talking about. Not idiots who don't know what they're talking about. And there's plenty of those wandering around making all kinds of proclamations. But this is the result. Dangerous diseases coming back. Get ready for smallpox and polio and all kinds of great hits from the past. It's disgusting.
That's what I mean. It's like, imagine, you know how dumb these guys are? This is how dumb. Imagine they light your future on fire in front of you. Make you watch it burn to ashes. Then they realize part of their future got a little bit like a little crispy, and they want your help and open arms, an olive branch, let's say, instead of to restore things to that they've come around. Oh, gee, you know, hat in hand, that kind of thing. No. Not interested. Not you, not your family, your kin, none of them. Sorry. We got to get that. I'm concerned about my future. All that magnanimousness, you know, it. You burned it. How are any of us going to survive? And I'm sorry, if you're just coming back into the fray over this, you are well behind a whole lot of other people that have been on board and willing to fight this, to resist it for a very long time. And I'm sorry you're slow to realize, like, that's not my prerogative. I'm not trying to make friends, period.
If you want to make friends with Kyle, you can write to us here at Off the Wall, otw@2600.com, and make a strong argument. All right, here's a feel-good story to end with, hopefully end with. We have about 5 minutes left. Omaha police agreed this week to stop carrying gloves that can deliver electric shocks to students in the halls of Nebraska's largest public school district. I mean, that just makes you want to tear up that cops care so much about the kids out there that they're willing to make the sacrifice and not wear gloves that can deliver electric shocks to students in the hallways of their school. Why the hell are police even in the schools? I mean, when I went to school, there were no cops in the building ever. And they didn't carry, well, they weren't in the building, so they... These are hypothetical cops, but if there was a cop in the hallway, they would not have there were no such things as gloves that can deliver electric shocks. What fresh hell is this? We're going to be hearing about these things everywhere. The Omaha mayor and police chief said in a joint statement Monday that the gloves were used twice in the last school year, including in a program for students with learning deficits. Is that incentive? What exactly is the point? We believe it is the safest use of force option in the rare times when it is used. You'll have to show me how these things are effective. You really will have to do that. The decision affecting most Omaha middle and middle schools, came after the Associated Press first revealed immigration and Custom Enforcement's plan to give officers the gloves. So those bastards are going to be the ones walking around with these shock gloves, whatever you call them. They even made an acronym for this. Of course they did. Generated Low Output Voltage Emitters. Spell it out. Generated, G, low, L, output, O, voltage, V, emitters, E, glove. It spells glove. That's so clever. The devices have also been used in recent years by some jails and kidnappers and all kinds of other people that want to make their point. But school districts? That's the last place you should be doing something like that. And don't tell me kids are misbehaving. Yeah, kids have been misbehaving since they were kids. This is barbaric. This is terrible. I just can't believe I'm even reading about this, and it's considered progress that they agreed not to use them in schools. You ever hear about these, Carl?
These are shock gloves. You know, these cops, they are kinky. I mean, they like handcuffs. The like,
oh my god,
the cop on cop relationship. This is really magical, and I just hope that they're open about it with their local counterparts that want it. And I hope they get everything that they wish for, and that they're using these gloves on each other is amazing.
No, not on each other. Well, you know, we don't have time. Okay. We're out of time. The other big news of the day, of course, is the death of Dolly Parton, which I'm genuinely saddened by. And I think, you know, that is something that, you know, not since Johnny Cash have I known of someone that meant something to almost everyone. You know, it doesn't matter your political leanings in any way. Dolly Parton was a giant who unified all of us. And we are so much less for her passing. It was a bit of a shock. I guess, you know, it shouldn't have been that much of a shock. She had health issues, but still, it's I just feel the sadness everywhere. Maybe that's something that we can unite in just for a little while. I don't have a song by Dolly Parton handy, but I do have a song that mentions Dolly Parton, and I think people might like that. But, Kyle, 30 seconds are yours.
Oh, I'm reserving comment.
Okay.
I'm still thinking about, you know, cops choking each other and stuff.
We can talk about that after.
I'm sure it's amazing.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, no, she's a legend, and people kind of forget the Moderna vaccine was an investment she made. You know,
that's right.
That
she really, she donated so much money to important causes
and supporting trans youth. Like a lot of her legacy will be in the ways she contributed beyond music.
You'll read about it in the days ahead for sure. But this is not Dolly Parton. But again, the song mentions Dolly Parton. It's from Laurie Anderson. We'll see you next week. Good night.
On the radio, and I heard a song by Dolly Parton. And she was singing, wow, I feel so bad. I feel so sad. I left my mom and I left my dad. And I just want to go home now. want to go back to my Tennessee mountain home now. Well, you know she's not going to go back home. I know she's not going to go back home. And she knows she's never going to go back there. Who's gonna go and walk her dog? Her dog. Well, I feel so bad. I feel so sad. But not as bad as the night I wrote this song. Terrific music.